for proof.
It's Andre.
Yeah.
Log Talk Radio.
Always early.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Woohoo! All right.
Here we go.
Let's go, Rob. A lie does not care who tells it, Rob. You know, just wanted to throw that out there, man. That's something that you always say, man, and that's a true statement too. You know, he is not on time. He's always trying to slide in 2 minutes before. This time, literally 30 seconds before the show, and then gonna claim he's on time. In the words of Tom Coughlin, "You're not on time.
Excuse this time. I heard my wife upstairs screaming, so I had to run upstairs and check on her, make sure she was okay."
I told you about that.
That's okay. We'll let that slide because it's Gina, so it's all good. So.
Anyway, she dropped something on her toe, so I had to go make sure she was all right.
Okay. You did your husband's duty. We'll let that excuse slide.
Huh?
JQ is on fire. He's not even in the room, and he's already talking junk, man. I love
what
it.
JQ,
That's that role play.
Role play.
Yeah. There you go.
I wasn't going to touch that one, but now that you mentioned it, go ahead.
Uh-oh.
I love it. America, we're on fire. I think we got our coffee in us, the adrenaline, the juices are flowing. Week one is over. We have a lot of things to discuss on this edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Again, the 14th day of September, we apologize we didn't come to you on Tuesday. Just a lot of things we were doing, so we still want to have the time to talk some sports with the fellas, chop it up with a great group of guys. So we're going to go around the room as always, and we're going to check in. I see you representing JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, I'm good, man. Not the results that I wanted, but, you know, a young team that's not used to being hunted. Found out what it's like to be hunted by a division rival. So it took it to another level. So, you know, had a chance to win it, but I coached Chuck. So it's all good. Bounce back hopefully this week.
He sucked?
Maybe this one, but
already?
We'll see. Oh, he's always sucked. They win. No, they win despite of him.
Broken as a true fan. We love it, man. Keep that going, man. Look at JQ. I'm just happy, man. This is here. We're here, man. I know. We'll dive into that too, man. I know I got some thoughts, man, about Falcons Saints. I knew one of us was gonna be happy, one of us was gonna be mad. I literally didn't think we were gonna be giving away games, you know. But you know, again, it was crazy. We were in control for three quarters. If we can control three quarters, we're Super Bowl champions. But you have to play four quarters apparently, and but that's okay. You know, we're gonna come back, and it just hurts losing to the things, but it's all good. Congrats. I gave Rob some love, and it's all good. At least we're not as sorry as everyone thought. So that's all I'm going to say. Rob, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Yeah, doing good. I mean, the Falcons whipped the Saints in the trenches for three quarters. I mean, there's no question about that. And, you know, I said all offseason, I said about two or three times on the show, y'all heard me say that for some reason, the Saints and Dennis Allen struggle with mobile quarterbacks. We gave up 42 points to Jalen Hurts, and we shut out Tom Brady with a fat zero last year. So it's weird. They do not know how to defend that read option, and it gave him fits. Mariota and that offense gave him fits, and they have to figure that out. And they whipped the Saints in the trenches. I mean, the Saints finally figured out a protection scheme in the fourth quarter, and Jameis Winston and those receivers got hot, at the right time. And obviously a tough win. But, you know, Saints-Falcons, there's two teams that get together. You know it's going to be competitive. like a lot of these divisional games, right? You know, you know they're going to be competitive. So, yeah. So a hard fought game. Hopefully the Saints can beat the Bucks coming Sunday too. So hopefully we can keep that pressure on Brady and the Bucks.
I don't know who I hate more, the Saints or the Buccaneers, or Tom Brady. Actually, it's just kind of up there, but it's all good, man. It's a toss up. But
the Bucks more.
Well, like I said, but it's funny. I will say this. For some reason, I don't know, like, you were spot on, because Cam Jordan was like, he was lighting up about Matt Ryan, because they used to always sack him, and then now they're like, well, who are we going to sack now? He was literally like, what am I playing the Colts, man? Because he was talking so much noise about Matt Ryan. It's how stationary he was. I think he had majority of the sacks against Matt Ryan, something nuts like that, right? So it's just
Cam Jordan has sacked Matt Ryan more than any other quarterback.
Yeah, I know. He's like, he gets... I was like, well, I'm happy that's gone, but that's a whole other conversation. Oh, good stuff, Rob. Welcome. We didn't get to your food story today.
LSU lost to Florida State. They gave me a hard time already here. But, so we got to be Tampa. Because with me living here, we got to be Tampa.
Huh? What's up, Rob?
What'd you say?
Talking junk.
Am I talking junk?
Yeah. Yes.
About what?
Yes, you. Yeah. About
no, I'm
come
saying,
on.
I'm saying we got to beat Tampa, the Saints, because LSU lost to Florida State. They gave me hell.
The answer to that question is yes. Yes, he is.
That's what I was going
to
say.
You tried to avoid it.
I'll translate
like,
that
what?
For you.
What?
Yes.
Gary.
But, you know, this is
Curtis,
what he'll do.
Already.
Mm-hmm. This is what Rob will do. He'll have so much paperwork and so much, you know, conference calls and everything like that. He's going to keep, if they lose to the Bucks, he's going to tuck his way in that office for 5 or 6 days, and hopefully they'll forget about it. But they won't, Rob. They won't. They're going to be coming for you.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
I can't.
It don't matter where I'm
going
back and forth between Tampa and Tallahassee right now. So it don't matter where I'm at, nigga. We got to win.
Yeah.
Rob is talking a lot of junk. Mm-hmm. Other than that, Gary, how you doing, man? I know we were talking about jumping on the call. Misery loves company. I'm just happy that you guys are okay. You're not on a suicide watch or anything like that, man. It's going to be okay. The Cowboys are going to be fine. Dak, it's going to be all right, man. Cooper Rush is there to save you guys, man. So there you go.
I hope the hell not.
No.
We'll agree.
This is the first time as a Cowboy fan when, after a week one loss, I believe our season's over.
Yes,
I believe our season's over. And we'll get into that later, and I'll give you a few reasons why. Number one is they're going to be 0-2 after this week. I'll give you that little sneak preview of my pick. But, I'll give you a few reasons why once we get into those topics. But let's move forward. Curtis and I were devastated. We watched this team, and we watched them even prior to his injury. Offensive line couldn't block anyone. Dak couldn't hit a receiver. CeeDee Lamb was clearly not a number one receiver at this point. Lots of reasons.
Wow. Yeah, we can't argue with all those points, man. But again, I do want you guys to have some hope. But let's jump into the show. We got a lot of things to discuss. We're going to touch on some baseball. We want to spend the rest of the show talking about some NFL. I do want to give a shout-out. I know I've got two kind of situations happening. The A's had a retirement ceremony for Dave Stewart, one of my favorite pitchers back in the day, so that's why I'm showing some love with the A's hat and the Falcons, even though I don't like to wear a team that lost, but I'm still representing. But shout-out to the A's and David Stewart, one of my favorite players back in the day, and I was a fan of the Oakland as well, too. So, but let's get into this really quickly. Let's talk about these topics. Dodgers comes in the division, you know, how the season's going to end. Aaron Judge, five away from breaking the AL record. He doesn't rule out Red Sox in free agency. You guys are probably like, what the hell? And then we got to talk about Mike Trout's home run streak here. So if you guys got to pick on those really quickly, we can talk some NFL. We can be like Wednesday night to Wednesday quarter, Wednesday, what is it, Wednesday armchair quarterback, all that fun stuff. And, yeah, the Braves are going to catch the Mets. So anyway, Rob, start with you, and then we'll go around and kind of get that going, if you will.
When you look at the Dodgers, I mean, a very consistent baseball team. Is there something about them, though? I hate to say it, but I think the Braves are the team to beat in the National League. I think they're a team that, you know, that has the pitching, it has the players, and it's just something about the Dodgers pitching that I'm not going to trust in the postseason. And the Mets, you know, I thought they were going to be a team with Scherzer and DeGrom to be, you know, but, you know, to me, they're not clicking on all cylinders right now. So I think the Dodgers make it to the NLCS, and they lose to the Braves again in the postseason. That's just kind of the way I envision it happening. I just don't trust them in the postseason. As consistent as they are, they're running away with their division, have 98 wins already. Not sure if they played tonight or won. I know they're 8-2 in their last 10 games, but it's just something about them. I just don't think from a pitching standpoint they're going to be able to beat the Braves in the postseason. So I think they lose to the Braves in the NLCS. That's kind of where I see them going. Hey, Aaron Judge, I mean, he's knocking it out of the park. And two last night on the Red Sox. He's definitely going to break Roger Maris' record. There's no doubt about that. But look at here. The Yankees cannot let Aaron Judge go to the hated, evil Red Sox, or any other team for that matter. They got to
Johnny Damon, Johnny Damon
in the Bronx. Pay the man.
Johnny Damon did the thing. Pay the man. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, he's not doing that. He's just doing that to say, hey man, if you come with this BS offer, I'm gonna go to your Hilly Rockets just to get them going. I just think that's all that is
exactly.
For you. Hey, you ain't got no hometown discount, buddy. You better go give me my money. So I think that's all that is. A phenomenal season. And it's been crazy. My only thing about him and his contract is that, you know, I've lived that Votto experience, and, you know, the Cardinals and the Angels can talk about living that Pujols experience. Like, you don't want to pay that dude crazy money at 38, 39, 40. So if I was the Yankees, I would front-load the hell out of that contract so that if he starts to decline, depending on the length of that contract in his 37, 38, 39 season, you aren't paying him $40 million at that point. So paying 50 or 60 in the first 3 or 4 years, and then back and then slide it down as he gets older. But I don't know if Judge would go for that. I would go for that. Give me most of my shit up front. But we'll see. yeah, I'm with you with the Dodgers. I feel the same way, and it's amazing to teach Rex that Padres team. I think the clubhouse, I really do. But those injuries, you know, losing Walker Buehler, and then, you know, we've seen Kershaw. He had a good one when they won it, but, you know, he sometimes gets in the postseason. Not sometimes, but actually, outside of that one run, he has had some horrible postseason for the Dodgers. So I'm with you on that. And as much as I hate it with the Braves fans out here and their foolishness, they just seem to be clicking all cylinders. They feel they when they play, they feel like they go in to every game feeling like they're going to win it. And it's not a, hey, let's get the series. It's, hey, let's get a sweep. And they just got a good mix of vets and young guys. You got to give them a lot of credit, though. Double A has been doing a great job at the GM. You watch what they got for Olsen, and everybody they got for Olsen, I thought like one dude is sucking out there. So, you know, it's wild how he was able to make that happen. So you got to give him all the credit. And like we talked about with Judge, he's just going berserk. truly bonkers. And he's going bonkers when other people around him are not hitting well, and you're just like, hey, we could pitch around him, but they don't. And he just hits another bomb. It's like, at some point, you got to get that dude maybe the Barry Bonds treatment. So we'll see how that works out. I'm with you, though. I also think the Mets, they're falling. It's something that New York water the past 3 weeks. They've both been struggling at the same time. The thing about the Mets is they don't necessarily always hit for a ton of home runs. They scrap and fall a lot of runs. And that can be good in the postseason when you're not relying on the three-run bomb to win it. But, you know, when you don't have that threat of popping off any time outside of, you know, polar bear, it makes it a little tough. And then just throw Mike Trout in there. He's always ridiculous when he's healthy. I would love to see him come to the East Coast somewhere so he can get his due. Because the fact that he's not a household name, or as ridiculous as he is, like Ohtani has blown up well past where Trout, to me, ever has been. And Trout has some seasons, right, that people just don't know about. And it's because he's stuck on the West Coast on a bad team.
Yep. I mean, he came close to tying a major league record. I mean, one more game, eight straight games with homers would have tied the major league record. So definitely a phenomenal feat. The good thing about the Yankees, we finally beat a good team in the series. So, you know, winning two out of three against the Rays. So hopefully they're slowly turning around. But they got to get healthy. We got to get Severino back. We got to get Rizzo back. We got to get LeMahieu back. We got to get some players back. For us to make a shot, make a run at this, hopefully in the postseason.
And you got to get Stanton to hit.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I would say
about
the one thing I would say about Judd and this Red Sox thing, Red Sox and Yankees have traded that players back and forth for many, many decades, stolen players either both ways. And as you said, JQ, you know, you front-load a contract for Aaron Judge because at the tail end of that, what is he going to be? Is he going to be that same productive player? You know, if the Red Sox don't do that, he may say, hey, I'm going to go to the Red Sox. But the smart money is, you know, loading that up in the front end of that contract. I don't know if the Red Sox are that team. They will spend money. And in years past, you know, back in those early 2000s, when they got tired of the Yankees, you know, getting all of the players and all of that, and decided to start doing that themselves, that's when they realized, hey, we can pay the money too. We can get these players to come here. I just hope it isn't this particular guy. I hope I believe he'll stay with the Yankees. But I think you'll look real close at if those two offers are similar, he's going to look at that fine print and see which one is going to work out for him, which any smart player would do. So we'll see how that goes. As far as the Mets and the Braves, I'm definitely going with the Braves right now. And I do think that the Dodgers, they're the front runner now. The Braves can beat them in the series. So that was your point, Rob. Other than that, you know, Trout, you know, he's one short from the record. You know, fantastic for him. Records are meant to be broke. Not here, not now, not this week. That's what I got.
Yeah. Good stuff. I'm actually hopeful, man. I'm kind of nervous with all the Braves love, you know, because the Dodgers have always been the proverbial monkey on our back, you know. But obviously, we proved that we can beat them last year. That was a stronger team, I felt. But yeah, you have to be concerned for the pitching. I am going to keep a very close eye on the offseason because if your rumors are correct, you're hearing about Jacob DeGrom is maybe coming to the Braves, man. So if that happens, Lord have mercy. So, but we got to get through this season first. You see how that plays out too, you know. So again, we're keeping an eye on that situation. We're liking the way the Braves are playing. They lost to the Giants, but you know they had a good comeback. So hopefully they're going to continue on that upward swing. Good stuff, guys. We appreciate you for all that good stuff. And then obviously they're hoping that the Astros are going to get Verlander back on Friday. Just a quick little note too, as we wrap up the baseball side too. So good stuff, gentlemen. Love it. All right, right off the gate, we got to talk about some situations here. Aaron Rodgers, man, right out the gate. How will they finish the season? Now, this was an interesting. I give everyone credit, Rob. You know, JQ, Jerry. I think you picked the. I don't know if you picked the Vikings. I know. I think I was the one to pick the Packers, but you know,
I picked
the Packers. Trust Kirk Cousins.
I think Jerry and I picked
Kirk Cousins.
The Vikings.
And, yeah. So you guys get kudos for that. But you know, like I said, give the new regime credit because they definitely knew they came out with a defense that kind of surprised the Packers, I think, and then Christian Watson dropped a touchdown pass. A lot of situations happen. Is Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, going to save the classic relaxed situation? But how are they going to change the situation their season? I'm going to go with you, JQ. Your thoughts on that, man?
I think that, you know, they're lucky they don't play in the AFC, and that's what I was going to say. To Gary, and the fact that if that comes back and he can play better, they, nobody in the NFC, the way that, that first week went, you know, it looked like they were world beaters, really, to me. Even in Tampa, it looked like to me that they had some problems, such the offensive line with Donovan Smith, the hyperextending in his elbow. They had already lost other key pieces off that line. Because Michael Parsons was just flat out eaten against them in that game. And he worries me this week because T.J. White ate 3 points against the Bengals on Sunday. But the Packers, I think it's just going to take them a little time. I don't think they're going to be out of it. You know, there's always the rumor whether or not they'll go get OBJ when he's healthy in November. But, you know, they've got to also be healthy in the offensive line. They were missing both their tackles. You know, they got really young wide receivers that haven't been in that situation. Yeah. You start them on the road against a division rival. It's tough, right? And then you're not getting a whole bunch of real live bullet time because it's preseason. You don't want to get Aaron Rodgers hurt and all that good stuff. So to me, it's just going to take some time. They could be 10-7 and be sitting there looking at the wild card if Minnesota is on the rise. I think what happened is that you just aren't used to Minnesota being able to play defense like that. I thought the offense would be better. But, you know, Hunter and Za'Darius Smith, you know, Za'Darius getting a chance to play the Packers because they didn't re-sign him. He was out there playing like a man possessed. And so you do that, and you pull out, you have a perfect storm for a classic overreaction. But you got to remember, the Packers lost week one last year as well. And I know they had Devontae Adams, but they still ended up with the number one seed. So let's not get too carried away with a week one loss.
Yep. You know, and I agree with that, too. And this game could have been a lot different if Christian Watson catches that football. Could have been a lot closer, momentum swings, things of that nature. And you got to keep in mind, the Packers went for it on the goal line, and Minnesota came up with a stop, too. I mean, there was a couple of, you know, a lot of these games in the NFL, you know, 4 or 5 plays makes up the difference in a game. And you look at that drop, you look at that goal line stands, and this game could be a lot different here. So I agree. I think the Packers are still going to be a contender. I just thought week one it was just going to take some gelling still with those receivers. They didn't have Alan Lazard either. I'm not sure. I think he's still questionable for this coming weekend. So I expect him to beat the Bears this weekend. They're in Green Bay, 1-1, and we'll see what happens with that. I think they're going to be in a fight for the division with the Vikings this year, but I do think the Packers still have a shot at winning that division. I do, because like I said, a few plays in that game could have been a huge difference. Where the game, I mean, they might have still lost, but it could have been a little bit more competitive. Justin Jefferson's a flat-out fool. I mean, he and Jamar Chase, I don't think it matters who's covering him. Best corners in the game. Those guys just get open. They catch the football. And, I mean, the Green Bay just didn't have an answer. You hear Aaron Rodgers say after the game, said he might be the best player in the league, referring to Justin Jefferson. I mean, he was that dominant. Against the Packers in that game.
My thing is, why don't you, at some point when the house is on fire, why don't you say, I don't know, we were going to have J.R. Alexander shadow this guy, but we're going to scuttlebutt that because he is lighting our ass up when we move him around. Everybody's talking about Alexander as the top 3, maybe top 5 cornerback now, and you don't let him travel with him, you're just going to watch him be on the other side and go nuts. Why would you do that? Like, stuff like that, I don't understand from an NFL coach's standpoint. Like, if you're that guy and you know he's that dude, then he's your responsibility all day. Win or lose.
Yep. But I, like I said, I do think they'll still – I think they'll make the playoffs even by the division champs or a wild card. Like I said, they're just going to have some growing pains with these receivers. They got to get Alan Lazard healthy. They still got a good 1-2 punch at one running back. So I think they'll get back in the swing of things and be competitive. They may not be as explosive offensively as they were with Devontae Adams, but I still think they'll be competitive.
Agreed.
Well, what I would say about Green Bay is this: is it was a week one loss to a division rival, a rival that has had a belly full of them finishing second in the division, and usually a distant second in the division. For a long time, they finally got a team that can, you know, at least week one, you know, compete and go out and get a victory, and they did just that. JT, the Vikings as well, but you say you picked the Packers.
I picked the Packers, for the first cousin.
Okay.
I went down.
Well, Rob and I picked
me
one,
too.
And But I think it. I think it's just this. I just think it's a week one loss. I still think Green Bay is going to win the division. I don't think that Green Bay is going to be that 13-3 team. You know,
right.
Or 13-4 team or whatever. I think they're probably a, 11-6 or whatever it is, type of a team. But I think that's going to be enough for them to win the division.
Shit, you might get in the damn NFC wild card at 9-8 this year.
Yeah, that, well, like I said, again, it's only week one, guys. Again, it's only week one. I mean, it's still tough. I mean, obviously, I can see what you're saying because the Bills came out on fire. They were ready to play, as you saw, a couple squads, Chargers. I mean, we can talk about good performances, but I agree with you. The AFC definitely looks like ready. NFC is kind of like, we're still trying to figure ourselves out.
NFC, Andre, you're right. The NFC's weak. And you may, JT, you're right, you may have that happen. But you can have that happen also in the AFC because you got 8 or 9 teams that are good enough
on
any given Sunday to beat each other.
Right.
And then
right.
If you have
that
happen, and then a couple of those division losses that typically all the teams have, because you play each other twice a year, and that one lousy team gets up for your team, then you may happen in both conferences.
Yeah,
you know,
back in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and so,
but that's why we
can
do that. Right?
That AFC South, nobody won in the AFC South, so they might have a 9-8 winner in that division.
And two teams played each other.
Right?
I know.
I mean, sorry, I love it. Nobody wants that division. So that's a great transition, Gary. So let's talk about this, right? Because we've talked about how situations can change pretty quickly, and injuries can literally change the dynamics of squads. Now, again, let's talk about some crucial injuries that happened, Gary. We talked about, unfortunately, Dak Prescott, he's going to be out for a couple weeks. T.J. Watt, that seems like it's a pretty impactful injury. I still got to get some details on that. And then Keenan Allen was lost as well. So let's talk about those injuries. And again, kind of how that shakes up the division. And then again, this is a situation where something can happen to certain players, and that changes the whole dynamic of the situation of the division. So go ahead, Gary.
Well, if you look at what Jerry and Stephen Jones did during, free agency, they sat on their hands. They had opportunities to get, Von Miller. He wanted to play for him. Mm. A lot of these players, that former linebacker for the Seahawks, what was his name?
Bobby Wagner.
What's that?
Yeah.
Bobby Wagner.
Bobby Wagner, that's right. He wanted to come to Dallas. They sit on their hands. They didn't do anything really in free agency. They didn't bring any other wide receivers in there or real anything that was worth anything. And I think that's what they're going to. And I think that's exactly what they're going to do right now with this quarterback situation. Hell, I would go after, Jimmy G. No one else wanted him. I'd go give them something.
Get some
for Jimmy
talk
G.
about it.
Yeah.
What
the cost?
Cam Newton.
Wow, Gary. Wow.
Well, and I'll
okay.
tell you why. It's because guess what? Cooper Rush is nothing more than a third, fourth string quarterback at best in this league. He's bounced on and off of the practice squad to the third string, to the second string. And, yeah, he knows the offense. But you've got to be able to perform in that situation. You've got to be able to make those passes. He had a big game last year against the Vikings and came in and he won a game. But winning one game where the team's not really ready for you, then have a team game plan against your weaknesses, they're screwed unless they make some sort of a deal. That's why I don't believe that they will. That's why I believe that after this week one, that this Cowboys season is over. Because I don't think Dak Prescott, after five or six games out, and the Cowboys are 1-5, let's say, or 0-6, Dak Prescott is not going to be that guy that can go out and win 11 straight ball games. That's not it. That's not him. He's got
wow.
enough players around him. You guys know, I'm a diehard Cowboy fan. I'll be rooting for him every week. I hope they kick the living shit out of Cincinnati, but they're going to get it handed to
them. Yeah.
Since you never know, the Joe Burrow so fucking fought four interceptions that they might win that game.
But
you know what's interesting right now about the quarterback
position
in the NFL?
I got one thing to tell you. I looked and looked and looked, and I tried to find a Cincinnati fan. I mean, I went to Washington Square Mall. I went to Clackamas Town Center Mall. And I asked people at the door, are you a Cincinnati Bengal fan? I probably asked 200 people that. And I found one, and I brought it tonight. So here's your other Cincinnati fan from the Portland area.
Yay!
That's right.
I'm from Columbus, Ohio originally. So I'm a Buckeye fan also.
There you go.
Yes,
oh,
man.
Right,
let's
right
go.
Let's you're welcome.
Go.
Thank you.
O-H-I-O.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Love it. Nice
oh,
segue.
Man.
Good
and
stuff.
The Saints just picked up another Buckeye, too.
I know.
Yeah. You know, you look at the quarterback position in the NFL right now, how many teams in the league has a legitimate backup quarterback right now? Not many right now in the NFL. And you look at it, you look at Mitch Trubisky. He was a backup in the league now. He was a backup last year starting for the Steelers. Marcus Mariota was a backup in the NFL last year, now starting for the Falcons. You have actually have some backups in the NFL last year. Trey Lance, I mean, he was a first-round pick. I don't know if I'll put him in the same category. But we have
Geno.
Geno Smith. Backup quarterback in the NFL last year, now starting. So the quarterback position has depleted slightly in the NFL here in the last year when you look at it from that perspective. Because normally, you know, you get a draft pick to come in, but now you actually have some guys that were backups that are now starting in the league. Now, Mitch Trubisky was the number two overall pick in the draft. Marcus Mariota was the number two overall pick in the draft. Geno Smith was a second-round pick. I mean, these guys were highly drafted. But they were backups just a season ago in the league. And Jimmy Garoppolo was a second-round pick. So not a lot of teams have a legitimate backup quarterback for the Cowboys to go after. I mean, you got the Commanders with Tyler Heineke, but they're not going to trade him to the Cowboys.
He actually played well.
Yeah. He played well, and Sam Howell was going to play in the preseason. But I don't think they're going to trade him either. Not to the Cowboys. And so, you know, it's not a lot of legitimate backup quarterbacks. I mean, who's the backup quarterback in Cincinnati right now?
Brandon Allen, he sucks ass.
Who's the backup in Atlanta? Felipe Franks?
No, Desmond Ridder.
Oh, Desmond Ridder. I forgot. It just wrapped him. He actually played well in the preseason. Yeah, he looked pretty good. But you know the Falcons are not going to trade him. I mean, he spent the third-round pick. He was one of the top rookie quarterbacks in the preseason, in my opinion.
I agree.
And yeah. You know that Jimmy G ain't going nowhere now because Trey Lance was like hot trash.
Yeah, because Trey
so,
Lance, oh, my God. Yeah,
you can't get rid of that insurance policy. I'll piggyback on it to this point that, yeah, they were big because I watched that Pittsburgh game, and T.J. Watt was a man freaking possessed. And all I can say was, God damn. Y'all got to chip this dude or double him or something on every play. He is out here wreaking havoc on Lyle Collins on that side. I mean, he was just pushing him around, but Collins hadn't played any because he's trying to keep everybody healthy. So the Bengals looked rusty, but T.J. Watt looked amazing. And I'll give him credit. I hate Pittsburgh, but he was a flat-out fool in that game until he got hurt. So losing him was big for them because they were playing a very ball-control, kind of safe offense. Don't ask me to do too much, and then you let that defense bang on Cincinnati, and it was working. Until, you know, he got hurt, and that's when Cincinnati was able really to kind of move the ball a little bit more. We've touched on Dak. I think the only one outside of here that can probably, you know, weather this storm, I think, would be the Chargers because they're just so loaded on defense. And then, you know, you still got Mike Williams
and, you know, that, and Eckler, who can catch a ton of passes as well. So they still got weapons to help him with and LA with the Chargers. But losing Watley with Prescott are huge blows. And another one, losing their running back, I think was a big blow in that game in that rain that allowed Chicago to pull that upset. So, yeah, it was some very wild things that took place.
Yeah.
And I think a piece of it is that they've got to find a better balance of preseason and training camp to come into the season, because sometimes you've got to get hit and play to be ready for those hits when it's like, okay, now it's for real, you know. And I think that's been a piece of it, is that your body just is not ready to get hit and run that fast that many times when, you know, you're going through a 75% practice, because nobody wants to get hurt in practice. And nobody wants to get hurt playing the preseason game. That doesn't mean anything. And you hit week one, and boom, injuries.
You know, you look at that 49er team, you mentioned that too, the running back Eli Mitchell. You know, this is one of those teams who said, hey, they got a stacked roster. And I still think they got a lot of talent on that team. But when you look at weapons on their team, they don't have many. When you talk Deebo Samuel and Eli Mitchell, well, I mean, George Kittle as well, too.
And he was hurt.
But, yeah, yeah. So, obviously, that's a big difference not having him in the lineup. But
huge.
Just looking at them, they just seemed like maybe that's why, because Kittle wasn't playing. But it just didn't look like they had a lot of weapons on offense.
And also, it's not you. He's been a disappointment. They drafted him to be that number two to the Deebo. He's so up and down that they can't really go out
and
make the right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know. I wonder about quarterback play, too, JQ, because it was tough sledding, too, man. Trey Lance just looked, man, it was not a good situation, too. I know the elements didn't help him either, but that was just, I don't know. It was just not really very disappointing. Let's talk about this. This is crazy because we're going to stay on this topic of quarterbacks here, because I love the next topic is stock update, right? Geno Smith versus Trey Lance. And I'll be honest, like, for some reason, I forgot that Geno Smith was even there. I'm thinking Drew Lock was playing for Seattle. I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot Geno was there, right? I'm like, oh, damn, Geno Smith is there. I'm like, was he like a witness protection? And I'm like, okay. And then love the line that he gave. Obviously, they tried to write me off, but I didn't write back. What a great line for him to go up against Russell Wilson. And he's also the same. He's also one of my surprise players for week one, because you're like, Geno Smith, you know, he actually looked like a competent NFL starter. I mean, he just had to have that confidence. You're like, what the hell? Did he just see the opportunity? Were they like, was Pete Carroll like holding him back? I'm like, what the shit is this, you know? So, you know, obviously we'll talk about, you know, the way that Russell Wilson played and Nathaniel Hackett. Terrible. But it was just interesting, you know, kind of what's happening, because now Geno is kind of on the uptrend. I know you're shaking your head. And then Trey's on the downtrend, and that's why Jimmy G is still there. But and we're going to talk about the draft, the top prospects, Rob, that you posted on Talking Sports, because if you're looking for a quarterback, next year is the time to get your quarterback, right? There's some teams out there, you know, is Mitchell Trubisky the answer? We don't know. Well, obviously, they got that Kenny.
I got six in the first round
again,
so far.
Baker, yeah, is Baker Mayfield the answer, right? Is Geno Smith the answer? Do the Cowboys get a quarterback? I mean, now you have some opportunities to look. What's really happening? Is Ryan Tannehill the answer? You know, you have all these questions. Is Carson Wentz really the answer? Come on, you know, Jalen Hurts, excuse me. You gotta figure out what's happening for Philadelphia. So you have all these like dynamics that's happening right now. And again, it's just interesting to see kind of that stock update, because you know Geno is on the uptick. Trey Lance, man, it's not looking good, and they sacrificed a lot for this dude. And I know maybe he's just young, but, yeah, three number ones, I mean, it's a scary time if you're a 49er fan, for sure. I know we can keep running, but you got to at least throw the ball, you know. So that's kind of an interesting pot. So I'll let you kind of piggyback on that. JK will kind of go around the horn and get your thoughts on that too.
Yeah, I'm not going to jump too far off the ledge off that. I think that was a big old revenge game that we all, you know, survivor pools and betting, like, oh, you know, Russell Wilson's going to go back to Seattle and cook, and they're sitting back there like, oh, yeah, there's nobody. That's the ultimate time the coach can say, nobody believes in us. Nobody believes that we can keep him from coming back here and whooping our ass. And they did, but you got to give – listen, I picked the Broncos to win that division, but if I had known the offense was going to come out there like that, I would not have done that shit, because I don't know what Hackett was doing when you got Clinton, Judy, and Hamler, and all you do is – bootleg and throw the three tight ends. I was watching that first half like, what in the hell is going on? I don't understand this from a philosophy standpoint. And then you saw when they started throwing the ball to the wide receivers, they were able to get in. But like Rob talked about with the Vikings, goal line, don't get in. Then you do that foolishness with the 64-yard field goal when you pay Russell Wilson $200 million. So I'm not going to get over the top about Geno. I think a lot of that was what Denver didn't do. But you got to think about it.
Yep.
Geno's got some weapons. You saw Penny running the ball real effectively. They still got Metcalf. They still got Lockett. They've got they're not bereft of weapons in Seattle. That's the best I think we'll probably see Geno play. And a lot of that, I think, is a whole lot of emotion of, I can take this step with this team that he didn't want to be on anymore. And I don't know if Geno can do that for 17 games. I just don't think he can, me personally. Trey Lance, I am worried about because
– Patrick magic.
I told you, that's that Fitzpatrick. He'll do that for one game and make you think he's good, and his ass will be terrible for the next two games. You'll be sitting there like, he got my emotions all up. That's what I think Geno is. So that's a great call.
Sorry.
The thing about Trey Lance, and we talked about this, I think, about a month ago, and y'all were like, well, he's that guy. And I said, if you really feel that way about him and you think that's going to be his team, then why would you ever keep Jimmy G on the roster to have him looking over his shoulder? And I think, in part, even though it's bad weather, you switched and saw what the Shanahans have been seeing behind closed doors. Was like, is he that guy though? Like, we want him to be that guy, but can we really just go all in? If we start 1-4, 2-3, because he's stinking up the joint, and we've got a very chance with the Rams offensive line not looking great, the Cardinals who are a hot dumpster fire against the Chiefs, and we don't expect this from Geno all year. You're like, we can't afford to get 2, 3, 4 games on the 500 in the winnable division, given what we've seen, and in a not great NFC conference. So I think that part of it is that I worry more about Trey. I think Geno is who Geno is always going to be. Seattle, to me, was always going to be in the quarterback derby because I don't think you build around Geno a lot for 5 to 10 years and skew going with one of these young quarterbacks that are going to get all this hype. But it's just wild to me to see that. I just, Trey. I want to see the brother ball, but now I know why you keep Jimmy D as insurance policy, you know, at least for a little bit.
Yeah. We're talking about him. Yeah.
Well, that was a smart move to keep him, you know, renegotiate that contract, keep him, because, Trey Lance didn't look good as far as Geno Smith. We wouldn't be having this conversation at all. It was really – I think less about Seattle and more about Denver. When you're inside the 5-6-3 yard line and, you know, you can't get any points, you know, you lose the game to 17-16 and you're inside the 10-yard line like 3 times and you come away with 0, that's on you. That's, you know, the Seattle came to play. The 12th man was there and affected things like they do in their place. But that was definitely more about Denver and the play calling than it definitely, and, you know, just inopportune fumbles and, you know, this sort of thing than it was about the Seattle Seahawks. If they would have even kicked one of those field goals, most likely we would not even have this topic right here.
Yeah,
right.
But Geno,
and even we look at the yardage of the game too, and I know yardage is not everything in the football game, but Chuck, I mean, they almost had twice the amount of yardage that the Seahawks had in that football game. I mean, so they were moving the ball a lot better than the Seahawks was in that game. They just missed on opportunities, as Jerry just mentioned. Several opportunities could have been the difference in that game. But give the Seahawks a lot of credit. They fought. And Pete Carroll is still one of the best coaches in the game. He don't have the personality he had a few years ago when they were competing for Super Bowls, obviously. But, I mean, the guy's still, you got to give him credit. He's still one of the better coaches in the game, even at his age. He just don't have the personnel. But he had his team fighting in that football game. And Geno Smith was just steady. And that's what they're going to need out of him if they're going to have any shot. I mean, shucks, they're the only team in the division that won this past weekend. They're going to need him to – they're going to need him to be steady and not turn the football over if they're going to have any chance. And as JQ just mentioned, he's got weapons. The offensive line has improved. So they've made an investment in improving that offensive line, which is paying off. They got some pretty good backs. They have receivers. So they have a chance to be competitive, I think. I mean, they may be an 8-9, 9-8 kind of team when it's all said and done. Seattle, they have a chance to be competitive. if Geno Smith can be steady. Trey Lance, yeah, he's got a long way to go, but the potential is still a lot higher than with Geno Smith. Geno Smith, I think he is who we thought he – I mean, he is what he is at this point in his career. But
Sorry.
Yep.
one thing I will say about Pete Carroll is he gets these players for a long time since he's coached up there. He gets his players, they buy into his systems. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even when he doesn't have some of the talent that, you know, that some of these other teams, he stays competitive because, man, they really buy into his whatever he's saying. I wish our
message that rah-rah college shit.
Yep.
What's
that?
Yeah, it works.
That rah-rah college shit is what he sells, and they buy it and throw him in. It's amazing. Not a lot of coaches can do that.
Yeah. Well, you know another thing that Pete Carroll is good at? Him and his organization, they do a really good job of getting the personnel that fit his schemes. And, you know, so he's right on par with the general manager and what they're looking for in personnel. I mean, they're one of the better organizations that, you know, looks particularly from a defensive standpoint I'm referring to. He gets players that fit what he wants to do from a defensive standpoint. And he and his general manager has always been really in sync when it comes to that. But Jamal Adams, I mean, they just lost him. Could be possibly for the season. Off for quite some time,
really?
Too.
Yeah,
so that's
that.
A big blow.
Yeah,
that's going to be a big blow to them defensively as well. So I know we didn't talk about that from an injury standpoint.
I was going to look that up too because I was remembering that dude single handedly had like freaking. He had like freaking 13 tackles, and that dude was like that dude.
He always gets hurt, man.
He plays so right.
You know, that's Curtis's second team, Denver. And as you can see, he's shaking his head. So it was a double whammy for them to go in and stink it up down in the red zone like they did against the Seahawks. So, sorry, Curtis, I probably jinxed you.
Nah, it's all good. Let's talk about this before we get to some predictions, and we probably mail spill to the OT with the fantasy shout-outs and some college football stuff. The Vikings, man, again, I'm going to piggyback them, but what an interesting situation. And again, no shade to Mike Zimmer, you know, JQ, but just a different squad, man. Just the offense was just attacking and attacking more or less from the defensive-minded focus of Mike Zimmer. Adam Thielen was talking about that. Robbie said it earlier with Jefferson kind of going off. And it's like you basically made Kirk Cousins look like he was successful. You made him look like, you know, you knew he was a quarterback, but – just the scheme, he was able to get Jefferson open. He had a big game, and the defense played, you know, they were always a great defense, right? So at this juncture, you kind of match the opposite defense. Are the Vikings on the rise is the question. And I'll go to you, Rob, on this and kind of get your thoughts on this.
Well, I definitely think they're on the rise. They're a team I predicted to go to the playoffs even prior to week one. I predicted it as a wild card, but I think, I predicted before the season that they'll be just one game short of the Packers in a division. So I think that's going to be a very tight division race when it's all said and done. So I definitely think their team on the rise. I'm not ready to put them in the Super Bowl or anything like that. They still have Kirk Cousins, right? And I definitely think they have Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook. I mean, they have weapons. They've made an investment in improving the offensive line. They seem to be better on the defensive end. So they definitely have a playoff team, in my opinion. I really do. And they're going to be a tough out. I think this Monday night, I think we'll see how legitimate the Eagles or the Vikings are. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a very intriguing game on Monday night this week. I know we
Absolutely.
Haven't gotten to the predictions.
Absolutely.
I mean, that game's in Philly. I'm picking Philly to win that one at home. But I think it's going to be a three-point game. I think Philly wins by field goal. I think that's going to be two playoff teams right there that's going to be battling on Monday night.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I won't beat it up too much more than that, yeah. I think they got a wounded duck that came into the arena, and good teams beat up on wounded ducks when they come into their house. And that's what they did. So, you know, I give them that. And, you know, they got that Rams system, you know, and we talked about it. And I just didn't know if Kirk Cousins could make Jefferson be cut,
right,
even though, because that's the role they said they wanted him to play. But looking good through week one. So I give them credit. They're definitely on the rise. Like Gary said earlier, you know, they got a lot of bugaboos they got to deal with Green Bay and then finish it behind them all these years. So I think that was a big part of it, too. I'm with you, Rob. That is going to be a barn burner unless it rains or the wind is going 30 miles an hour. That might be whoever has the ball last in that Philly Minnesota game. It's going to be a whole lot of offense. Start them if you got them.
Mm-hmm.
Start your Eagles. Start your Vikings.
There you go.
Well, they are on the rise. The Vikings are on the rise. They'll finish second, but they'll definitely make the playoffs. What they do in the playoffs with Kirk Cousins is going to be nothing, but they'll make the playoffs.
Oh,
I'm just
goodness.
Being real here.
Hey,
on talking sports. As far as this week going in to Philly, they're going to beat Philly.
Ooh, you can get the head of your heart.
Both pick the Vikings to beat Philly. So,
wow.
A little
okay.
bit maybe because
okay.
because the Vikings and they played well, and a little bit is of course our hatred for the Eagles and misery loves
That's
company.
You pick it with your head or your heart.
So, but remember this next week when you guys are wrong on this, Noah. Don't worry, I'll remind you.
I mean, it's
I'm
funny.
Picking,
it's
I
funny.
Think it's
going to
be a heck of a game.
Like,
I'm going to pick the Eagles by a field goal.
It's tough because I'm kind of like picking the Eagles because I still don't trust Kirk Cousins, man. But, I mean, again, I'm like, what the hell? You know, this. I got to not keep picking against them, man. This is a different team, obviously. So that's the only reason why I picked the Eagles. I still don't trust you, Kirk Cousins. I still don't. But, you know, legitimately, see what happens.
I want
to.
I've got a hard time with it. I didn't put them to Eagles just because they're at home. I just wonder also, you know, if the Eagles let Darius Slay travel with Justin Jefferson because I'm staying on my side stuff, you know, because Darius Slay is a very good cornerback. And I said he could shut Justin Jefferson down, but he's their best option in the secondary, so we've tried to slow that dude down. But if they allow him to go to the other side and just roast to every other guy he is, then it could be a long day for Philadelphia. But being at home and a pick 'em, I'm going to take the home thing.
Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis, that's a big line, man. So, I mean, they got that Philly, you know, defense, you know.
Yeah, I can't tell DeAndre Swift went nuts on them.
Again. I don't know if that's you know, right at the gate, too. That was interesting, too, right? I'm just like, what the hell, right? We can't finish the game. That was Dan
Campbell.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But if you look at the rushing stats when Jordan Davis was in the game. Go back and look at those stats. When he was in the game, the Lions' running game was putrid. But when he went out of the game, that's when Swift was having his success. So they need to
keep
his
ass in the game.
Yeah.
He's got to work on his conditioning. He's got to work on his conditioning for real. Before we get to OOT, JQ, will the Bengals bounce back? You know, I know this is kind of tough out the gate, man, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what, you know, as I watched that game, he and the offensive line looked like they didn't have a rhythm. And part of that is because, you know, he had surgery and, you know, they went the approach of we're not going to play anybody at any point in time during the preseason. The part of me loves that because I don't want to see somebody go down and be out 6 to 8 weeks playing a meaningless preseason game. But that was to my point earlier is that you got to have some semblance of balance with getting them ready. In that first half, they did not look ready to play. And it looked like they were playing a team that one is a team that they have a serious hatred for in both ways. And they're trying to say, hey, y'all been down the big dogs now. We're going to take you knock you off this pedestal. And they weren't ready for that aggression and physicality in that first half at all with Pittsburgh. And it took them a while to get going and figure it out and say, okay, these dudes are ready to play. We need to get our shit together. But at that point, you've dug yourself a 17-6 hole. You got four turnovers. And then you get to five with Joe in the second half. And you still have a chance to win, which gives me hope the defense did a good job of keeping in because Pittsburgh has weapons, keeping them in that game, not letting them go wild on them. But, you know, that piece of Cooper Rush we talk about, I don't count it out because sometimes that dude that hears all week how terrible he is and CD hearing how he's not a number one,
and they're at home, they're going to come out fired up in that game. And I want the Bengals, I think they should, given the way this past week started. Like, hey, you got to come out from the get-go ready to play, because these dudes have heard about how you're going to come in the building and beat them because they've got this dude starting. You better be ready to come out and play, because you know they're going to come out and try to pound deep and Pollard down our throat. So I do think the Bengals bounce back. I think it's just where everybody asks you, how do you feel about this season? It was more so of a young team. I want to see how it is when you have expectations. Nobody had any expectations for us last year. But what was Burrow going to do? Chase was chopping everything in the preseason. Then they hit the scene, and everybody was like, oh, shit. Now you don't sneak up on anybody anymore. So I think it's going to always be a little of that as they play better teams as the season goes on. I don't think they're going to run away with any crazy great win-loss record. I didn't think that going into it, and I still feel that way.
Yeah. I like the Bengals in this game on the road. I think they'll win like 26-13. Dallas did some good things defensively in the game the other night. Micah Parsons was outstanding. I mean, they're going to move him around and rush the passer. He's going to cause some havoc. But I think the Bengals will make some adjustments. And JQ, I think you were spot on. I mean, there were a lot of teams that I watched during this first weekend that were rusty, and you can tell from just the lack of, you know, preseason. Even Jameis Winston only threw four passes in the preseason. And you look at the Steelers, Mitch Trubisky, he was involved in quarterback competition. So he played.
Right.
So he played a lot. And then you look at Marcus Mariota. The Falcons played him, I believe, in every preseason game to get him that rhythm in that offense. And so you saw that. I think you saw that with a lot of teams here in the preseason. Even to a certain extent, Brady. Even though Brady can still get the ball down the field, it's insane. The dude's 45 years old. But you still even saw some rustiness there. He didn't play that much in the preseason. So you saw that a lot. With a lot of teams in his first weekend, just the rustiness, you know, Burrow not playing at all. You saw that with a lot of teams here in the first weekend of the season. But I do think the Bengals will bounce back and win this game this Sunday.
They need it. They can't go down 0-2. Down the AFC.
Well, I think you're very generous.
They need it.
If the Cowboys can only score 3 points against the Bucks, I think that Cincinnati is a way better team than the Bucs, in my opinion.
Bucs probably have a better defense than Cincinnati.
And it's going to be an ugly one for the boys, unfortunately. I hope it's not, but it's going to be, and I already know it's going to be. Cincinnati, 31, Dallas, 6.
Damn.
Oh, man.
No, that's not reverse jinx shit. I'm not listening to that.
You're not falling for the banana in the tailpipe over there, JQ?
No, there's no way.
Oh, man. What's up, OT, Rob?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show tonight. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking about
Cowboys
going to
make the game of it.
Next Tuesday, we should be back at you on next Tuesday night, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Philadelphia with the Philly Cheesesteaks. We want to see how y'all going to perform on Monday night. We want to hear from y'all. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday night. In Minneapolis, it's going to be 10 p.m. We want to hear from you all as well, you know, on the show. So we don't want y'all hanging out at the Mall of America. We want y'all tuning into the show on next Tuesday night. That's going to be 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Albuquerque, that balloon festival is coming up. It's October.
Yeah.
That's not next week, though. So next week, we want y'all tune into the show, 9 p.m. Mountain Time. The balloon festival is not till the first 2 weeks of October, so we want y'all tuned in to the show next week. All right, West Coast. No, we got some big ones. Seattle, San Fran, the Rams trying to bounce back after a loss. We want to hear from y'all on the West Coast. That's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next week. We want to hear from y'all next Tuesday night. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. So click on the same link to get the rest of the show, as we have some more NFL and college football to talk about on our OT portion. Make sure you all like us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man page. follow us on Twitter. You know, we want to hear from y'all. Let us know what you think about the show. Good night, people.
Hey, man, what about Jackson in California?
I have one more prediction. Curtis's prediction for the game was 20-17 Cincinnati. He didn't like my prediction where I thought they were going to be blown out. I think the Cowboys defense is on the right track, but I just think, you know, they're going to be on the field, three and out for the boys, one first down, three and out for the boys. That defense is going to get tired. Curtis thinks it's going to be a close game.
It depends on the Bengals rush defense, because you know they're going to try to protect Cooper Rush with a whole bunch of run, boots, play action pass. So you're going to try to see them give a lot of Pollard and Zeke. It's really going to come down to, can the Bengals 2nd-and-7, 3rd-and-5, 3rd-and-6, and not give them a whole lot of 31, 32, because they're going to try to pound that rock and keep that out of Cooper's hands. So I think it comes down to the rush defense versus Zeke and Pollard.
Gotcha.
They rush for 120 yards, the Cowboys to win that game.
We'll see if Kellen Moore gets his act together, man, because I know he was a hot commodity, man. So we'll see how he's going to prove his mettle, man, because I'm curious how that offense is going to be without Dak. You know? So this is where you're going to see some stuff, too. Man. So interesting. Hey, Rob.
Well, we're pretty much running the same.
I'm saying. Because
neither one of them can throw. Look at what Dak did this week. Before he did. They're going to run it the same.
I know.
Why not?
I know.
Cooper can throw behind
the receiver. It's craziness.
Come on, Gary.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. This is hilarious.
Did you watch the game?
The offensive line was yeah, it was rough, man. We know.
Even with the clean pocket, he's throwing behind.
Yeah, he's throwing behind.
Over their head. You don't think Cooper can do that?
You traded Amari Cooper. You realize what's going on. You know, obviously Michael Gallup's hurt. You realize that CeeDee Lamb wasn't the guy, man. You talk about the perfect storm, you know, and defense at all could have kind of keep everyone in the game. But it was just like, Dak was playing. I'm like, man. Oh, man. I feel your pain, man. I'm just saying. Spanish shout out. I don't want to stay too long for OT Rob. I do want to talk about the quick predictions and then what's going to happen for college, if you will. Go ahead.
Wait, what are we doing, the predictions for NFL or college?
Quick. We'll jump back. Fantasy shout-outs. Then we'll do the predictions real quick.
All right.
They're off the game.
All right. Fantasy shout-outs after week one, league number one. Andre's team had the biggest win of the week, straight cash homie, 142.70 over Eagles Chicks for Life, 106.98. And Andre's team, straight cash homie, 1-0 in first place. All right, league number two, Sean from Atlanta, the Black and Gold Patrol, had the biggest win of the week, 162.02 over Hunk Smash, 104. And Paul in Atlanta, Bears Nation, this team 1-0 in first place. Andre's team again in league number three had the biggest win of the week, Wakanda Forever, 146.66 over Kraken, 113.30. And Irv in Atlanta, his team, Irvin's team, 1-0 in first place. All right, league number four, Paul in Atlanta, Bully P had the biggest win of the week, 125.40 over Baby Got Backfield, 79.86. And Casey in Atlanta, Casey's Web, perfect team, 1-0 with the best record. Casey is a huge Michigan Wolverine fan, just so you know, JQ.
Chick, you already hate them already. good stuff.
I thought it was cute they had me play Tate Pelicans in two of the three leagues in the first week, and luckily I got a split. But I know he'd be talking shit.
Dude, I'm just happy I beat Eagles Chick for Life, man. She'd be talking a lot of shit, man. So I'm just happy I beat her, man.
Oh, she's
come back around. So I got to get her early. I don't want to talk too much. She's going to come back around. Let's talk about some real quick games, and we'll get it going. Really, really exciting game out the gate too. We've got the Chargers at the Chiefs. Again, I wanted to kind of highlight, surprise. We thought that the Chiefs' offense would take a little dip with Tyreek Hill and Mahomes is kind of throwing it around to everyone, spreading it around. Good to see him doing that.
So now this is an interesting matchup. It's at KC, and we talk about, you know, Arrowhead is at an advantage. You know, this is a lot of firepower, if you will. I mean, damn, I don't even know. I'm kind of like really not sure who to go with. I mean, do I give a slight edge because of the home field advantage? I mean, or the defense? But this is one of those situations that's going to be a great game. So I'll start with you, Rob, your thoughts on this, and then we'll kind of go back around.
Hey, Patrick Mahomes put everybody on notice. Everybody's talking about Josh Allen.
Yes, he did.
Everybody's talking about Justin Herbert. And Patrick Mahomes said, I am still here, people. And he put
on the show
this past weekend. And Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes said, hey, we're going to still be a team to contend with. I thought the Bills were impressive this past weekend, but I thought the Chiefs were the most impressive team in the league. And it's just week one. But if based on what I saw week one, they were the most impressive team in the league. I like them at home. They're not going to put up 44 points on the Chargers. Chargers has a legitimate defense.
Right.
But I do think the Chiefs will win a close football game. I'm going to go 26-21 with the Chiefs pulling this one out at home in a close matchup. But Patrick Mahomes, like I said, he put the league on notice. Hey, I am still that guy. And – I'm still the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah. So part of that, though, is it's hard to do that for me. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I like the Derwin James matchup with Travis Kelce. He just, listen, the Cardinals are just a bad football team right now with what they have happening, especially on offense. They just put their defense in harm's way. I don't think the Chargers necessarily have that problem. The only thing that worries me about the Chargers is they let Davante Adams go batshit. So I just don't know if Juju can do that out there on the outside. But I think Derwin is a better matchup in the middle with Travis Kelce than anything the Cardinals were able to do, even having Blue Bay. I think Derwin James is just a physical freak. And you got to think about it like this. The Chargers play all road games at home, too. Did you listen to that crowd when the Raiders was playing the Chargers when you watched that game?
Yeah.
It was loud when the Chargers had the ball with the Raiders fans. So this is something that they're not, you know, they're accustomed to this, having to go through this at home. When the 49ers came down there, it was all San Francisco fans. Like, they're used to it. But, I mean, it sucks for them at home, but it's somewhat an advantage when you go play on the road because it's not something that you are unfamiliar with. I just like the Chargers and the Rams, yeah. I just like that defensive makeup. I think they can slow down them enough. I think Justin Herbert is on the ascent. And there's a little bad blood there with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. You know, when they talk about each other, they don't really do a whole lot of handshaking after games. So that's what I'm excited to see. I just like the Chargers' defensive talent to keep this game close and to win it close 1-3.
Well, yep. Curtis and I split on this. I picked the Chargers because I thought they were better on the defensive side of the ball. And Curtis picked the home team. You know, Mahomes at home after his, you know, dominating performance. He picked KC, so we split on this. But I do think it's going to be a really good game to watch. Probably might be the game of the week.
It is.
Good game. Yeah. Yeah. I'm picking the Chiefs.
Well,
game.
Well, there's a lot
like
of good games.
Great matchup.
Right up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of them. All right, Buccaneers at the Saints. You know, again, my hate for Tom Brady exceeds, I don't know, the hate for the Saints. I mean, I'm hoping that I'm picking the Saints in this matchup just because, again, I just think the Saints always have the Buccaneers number. And again, something about, you know, the offensive line, I know the Saints are going to wake up. I know the Falcons put a little scare in them, so they're definitely going to be ready to play. Rob, I did not realize that Andy Dalton was a backup for you guys. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that. Whenever he was warming up, once Jameis was on me, damn, Andy Dalton's there? I know they got rid of Ian Book, man, or he got released and whatnot, but I just forgot he was the backup there. I'm like, oh, shit, okay, that's what's up, man. Anyway, but I'm picking I like
the redhead still around.
I hate the Bucs, man. Yeah, man, so it's crazy. But that's my prediction for that one. Go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, he sounded like a homer in his prediction, but I'm picking the Saints, too, in this one. We'll be in attendance, so we'll be screaming who that down in the Big Easy this weekend. But, I'm picking the Saints in this one. I think they with the offensive line struggles that the Buccaneers are having right now, with Tom Brady being a little bit more of a statue than what we had to face this past weekend against Mariota, I think that pass rush of Davenport, Cam Jordan, David Onyemata. I think they're going to put some heat on Brady this weekend, and hopefully to force him into a couple of turnovers like they have been able to do over the last few years. And the Saints' passing game, if they can play like they did in the fourth quarter, they have some weapons. I mean, Olave, Michael Thomas got hot, and he had to shake off his rust because he hadn't played in over a year and a half, and he got hot in the second half in the fourth quarter, and Jarvis Landry. So they could get it going in the passing game here, too. The running backs did a horrible job against the Falcons picking up the blitz here in the first three quarters. And so they, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, they were horrible picking up the blitz. They got better in the fourth quarter. And but I like the Saints to pull this one out here. Tampa Bay's got a good defense. So I know they're going to be real competitive there. I'm going to say the Saints win by a touchdown. I'm going to say 24-17.
I'm going to take the Saints by four for just about everything that he just said. And I think a big blow for it also is Godwin tweaking that hamstring. And that's one less serious weapon that you don't have to prepare for Tom Brady. And Julio Jones is on injury report, surprise, surprise, with a knee. Now, I don't know if that is maintenance for him being an older player. But, you know, when you have to thrust him into that role and you're relying on Gage with no Godwin, I think that's a big blow. And you saw he looked explosive before he got hurt. And when he got hurt, they slowed down a little bit. So not having Godwin, I think, is a bigger blow to the Tampa offense than people realize. But whenever New Orleans or Tampa plays, I wish I could just get one camera on Marshawn Lattimore and Evans, because those two MFs do not like each other, and that is great football. I love to see them go at it. So, to me, you could give me, like, a foot screen when they're on offense and defense and let me see that piece of it, because they just it's nastiness, and I love it. But I'm with Rob. I'm going to take the Saints by four for those reasons.
Marshawn Lattimore's got to keep his cool. He almost cost us that game this past Sunday with those two penalties.
Man, that dude is a hot hand.
He is. And the Saints, we don't have our second-best corner, Paulson Adebo. He didn't play this past week against the Falcons, and he didn't practice today. So not having Godwin may help us out because, you know, we need Paulson Adebo there. So.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen this matchup, and we've seen that, you know, the Saints in the last, you know, couple of years have really got the best of Brady. But this is a game, I guarantee you, this is their first matchup. He's in his own mind, Brady circled this game. He is a statue back there, and the Saints do have that pass rush that can get to him. But I think that the Bucs, and Curtis and I both thought this, that he's going to make just enough plays to lead the Bucs to a victory in New Orleans, and those Who Dat fans are going to go home sad because they're going to lose 27-24 Bucs.
You know he was.
And Tom Brady talked about it at the end of the game against Tampa, against Dallas the other night. He said, hey, we're going up against a team that's given us some trouble here the last few years. So, yeah, you know he's going to be focused, absolutely.
As focused as he can be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
We're gonna
when Giselle ain't happy,
you
can probably be happy when the wife ain't happy.
You're right. She finally came out with that interview today, too.
His wife, like, you retired? No, I'm not going to retire. What, you playing? Got everybody.
Hi.
I'm sorry.
Hi.
Dolphins at the Ravens, another intriguing matchup. I didn't get a chance to talk about some QBs that did really well in week one. Lamar Jackson was another guy that was just, you know, playing really well. Had three touchdowns. Loving the way how he hit Rashad Bateman, man, that first one, that 50-something-yard pass. That was great. Touchdown strike to him, looking off Mark Edwards, you know, making some good plays in the passing game. He kind of shook off the contract stuff. But then you have, obviously, the Dolphins filling themselves, you know. And, again, it's kind of like a toothless Patriots team. We talked about that. But this is going to be a real matchup for them, too. This is interesting because hold on. Yeah, that's right. My bad. Yeah, right. But,
no, you're right. You're right on both. I was just saying, you're right on both. Yeah.
Yeah.
They both play bad teams.
In front of you.
Yeah.
In front of you, though, right? Because that's the thing. Because the Patriots are still the Patriots, you know. But still, you gotta beat them. But I get you. I mean,
I know.
Like,
but the Ravens did that
back
against a bad Jets team with Joe Flacco and a backup offensive line. That's what I'm saying. They both played
about the same level of competition.
But you still got to – I get you. You know, from that perspective, though, Robert Sala was like, man, what's he getting? That you can butt with the pass, you can butt. I was like, what the hell? They were filling themselves. Like, Joe, you bring out 45, 65-year-old Joe Flacco thinking you're going to do some stuff, and that didn't go well at all. So this is going to be an interesting test. I'm going to throw it to you, Jake, kind of start us off because, you know, I'm kind of leaning towards the Ravens in this matchup, you know, right now just because of the fact that you know, I do like the Dolphins, the run game, but that Ravens defense, they seem like they came, again, I don't even take it for what's worth against the Jets, but they did get some pressure, and I kind of like the way the defense is playing. So this is going to be a true test for the Dolphins.
I like the Dolphins only because the Ravens lost the cornerback. They lost Fuller to an ACL, and I believe they lost another defensive player. I think they're both now done for the year off that defense, if I'm not mistaken. I know they lost Fuller. I know they lost Fuller to ACL. They lost somebody else. They lost the offensive lineman, it was, to an Achilles injury. His second one in, like, 16 months or something like that.
Bailey and Juwan James were out, if I'm not mistaken. But, okay, I got to see what happened with that. That's defense.
Yeah, they definitely lost a secondary member to a torn ACL. And for that reason, if they don't have Tyreek Hill, I could still think the Ravens could overcome it. And I think it's still a close game, but I think when the Dolphins actually don't play bad defense, right, and then you add Tyreek Hill to that and you take away a cornerback from the Ravens, I think they'll try to do a little stuff early on to confuse Tua, but he's also mobile and able to get out. And if you have to go to that shell to keep Tyreek Hill in check, then you let Jalen Waddle catch 13 passes. And you can kind of play a little bit of a ball control game that way. I think it's not going to be a real high-scoring game. But I just don't like the injuries that the Ravens have had. It's hard to run the ball the way you want to when you got injuries along the offensive line. It's hard to play the defense you want to when you can't play the nickel the way you want to play it, right? So I'm going to go with the Dolphins just for that reason.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very close football game. And Tua actually played pretty well here in week one, too. So he was one of those quarterbacks that you saw some improvement out of, too. But I really like what Lamar Jackson, the way he played this past weekend, too. So I'm going to go with the Ravens in a close football game. I'm going to have them to win this one by 3 points, 24-21. I think the difference in this game is really the home field advantage. If this game was in Miami, I'll pick the Dolphins. I think they're probably two equally teams. But I'm going to pick the home field advantage being the difference. Really like the way Lamar Jackson played this past week. Marcus Williams, the free safety for the Ravens, got an interception in week one. I know when he was with the Saints, I thought that was a huge blow losing him. I mean, he had the best range of any free safety in the game. And he, week one, you saw him have a – I mean, he's playing Jets and Joe Flacco. So, we'll see. But he did say he would do the same thing to Tom Brady, too, though. But he's a big addition to that Ravens team.
Well, Curtis and I split on this. Curtis went with the home team. He went with the Ravens. Mobile quarterback, he liked them. And I think what was your score, 24-21? It was a three-point game. I'm going with the fans. This has got to be their year to get some of these games like this, because this could be one of those real ugly games. You know, where nobody's really doing anything, and a couple of little, you know, freak little plays or whatever is the difference in the game. I don't think this is going to be one of those really barn burner games by any stretch of the imagination. But we split on this. He took the Ravens. I took the Fins. The Fins, if it's their time, they got to start winning these type of games now and early, and get that nice lead in the division.
Great. Well, they ain't going to get a lead in the division off the Bills.
Good stuff. All right, we already talked about the Vikings and the Eagles. I just want to talk about really quickly some surprising quarterbacks that played well, and then we're going to really do the top 20, the top 32 prospects, and we're going to wrap up with the quickly with the college predictions. Obviously, we talked about Geno Smith. I thought he played, and not like I know we talked about how, you know, he did what he was supposed to do, so that was good to see him play. Lamar Jackson, we talked about Patrick Mahomes, was the best, obviously just killing it.
You know, we talked about Josh Allen. I know I'm going to sound like a homer here, but I'm actually going to talk about Marcus Mariota because I didn't know how he was going to play. We had no clue what we were going to get out of him. And even though he lost a couple fumbles, I was pleasantly surprised how he played. And Carson Wentz, you know, I know we didn't see his up and down. It's kind of maddening situation how he played too. But, you know, that's just kind of a really quick update as far as what I thought about some quarterback play in the first week, if you will, too. So just some quick highlights on that. I don't want to spend too much time because we got to get through some other topics too. But you can add more later if you guys want to add to that too. But, Rob, I do want to talk about the early top 32 draft picks. I know you got six quarterbacks in this draft, which is pretty interesting. You even got JQ's favorite quarterback, Spencer Rattler, in there going, like, later in the round.
Sucks.
But we know he sucks. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Number 28.
Flavors, and you got two quarterbacks. You got two quarterbacks actually trying to buck a trend, right? You got, you know, C.J. Stroud is pretty high up there. Is he going to, you know, buck the Ohio State trend? I know Justin Fields is doing that stuff right now. And then also the same thing with Bryce Young, kind of trying to get rid of the whole Alabama quarterback trend as well. But you have a lot of quarterbacks and a lot of different flavors to pick from, too. So you can talk about that, Rob, and some interesting draft notes as far as on the top and sports for the first round, please.
Yep, definitely an early look at the 2023 draft, top 32 prospects. Obviously, we all know this list is very fluid. You know, the surprise, you know, we already touched on, we got six quarterbacks in the top 32 right now. Another interesting thing, I have three Georgia Bulldogs defensive players in the top 10. This team just had, like, what, five, six first-rounders last year, and they're going to have three possible, well, this is as of today, just totally reloaded. Right now, I got the number one player being Will Anderson, edge rusher from Alabama, at the number one spot. Jalen Carter, defensive tackle from Georgia. We talked about how much talent Georgia had on a defensive line. He may be better than any defensive lineman that went in that draft last year out of Georgia. So I have him number two. Jalen Carter.
Jordan Davis?
Hmm? Jordan Davis went 13th. Jordan Davis wasn't even top Georgia Bulldog on the defensive line that got drafted. You forgot about number one pick.
Mm-hmm. I know we know about Trayvon Walker. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's preferring.
Yeah. C.J. Stroud, I got him number three overall right now. Keely Ringo, cornerback from Georgia, I have him number four. Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky, I have him number five. And Bryce Young, quarterback from Alabama, at the number six spot. Jackson Smith, in Jigba, I have him at the number seven spot as wide receiver. He had like 1,000 yards receiving in the Rose Bowl in the past year. I know he didn't play this past week. He's expected back this coming weekend, right, JQ?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So we're expecting big things out of here. Nola Smith, edge rusher from Georgia. That's your third defensive player for Georgia. Have him at the number eight spot. Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback Miami, who's also playing very well. That's four quarterbacks in the top nine right there. And another Miami Hurricane, Zion Nelson, offensive tackle from Miami at number 10. Miami is a sleeper to win the ACC, by the way. So watch the Hurricanes. They are a sleeper. I know most people are still picking Clemson, and Clemson might have eight NFL prospects on the defensive line. They're not going to all get drafted this year, but by the time they finish school, they may have eight NFL prospects on that defensive line. So they're loaded on the defensive line. But Clemson is struggling offensively, and Miami's got Tyler Van Dyke going. Zion Nelson at left tackle. They could be a sleeper to win the ACC. They got two players right there in the top 10. Miles Murphy, edge rusher from Clemson at number 11. I'm going to skip around a little bit. For the sake of time, Eli Ricks, cornerback from Alabama at 13. Kayshawn Boutte, wide receiver from LSU.
Boutte.
Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida.
like
quarterback from Florida. Yeah. I said six quarterbacks. I know I actually have seven quarterbacks in the first round, so I miscounted. I actually have seven quarterbacks. So Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida. Didn't play that well against Kentucky this past week. He was very impressive against Utah in week number one. So I have him in the 15th spot. Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame at 17. Jordan Addison's off to a great start, wide receiver from USC at number 18. Another Clemson defensive lineman, Brian Breesy, defensive tackle from Clemson. Another Buckeye, Paris Johnson Jr., offensive tackle from Ohio State. Have him at the number 20, at the 20 spot. And I'm going to skip down a little bit. Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina. Really good receiver. Drake May, quarterback in North Carolina. Watch him in next year's draft. That's Luke May's younger brother who played basketball at UNC. But Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina, didn't play this past weekend, but I have him at number 26. Joey Porter Jr., yes, that Joey Porter, cornerback from Penn State, got him at number 27. Spencer Rattler, quarterback, South Carolina, at 28. B.J. Ojulari, edge rusher from LSU at 29. Bijan Robinson, running back, Texas, at 31. And the seventh quarterback, Phil Jurkovec, quarterback, Boston College, at number 32. So seven quarterback, I'm just counting, in my early top 32.
Wow.
That's it.
Damn.
Four of
them
in the top nine.
Just really quickly, the Texas-Alabama game, you talked about what's happening with the whole alignment with the SEC. That was a 12 o'clock game. I think, you know, we talked about ratings, Robin, that we both worked in media at the time. There was like 10 million people watching that game, and then by the time it was over, it was like 20 million, or towards the end of the game, 20 million people tuned in to watch the game. That's just showing you the power of the TV rights and what's going to happen with SEC. I mean, that's just nuts to see what type of ratings that game had. I was like just tripping out when I saw it. I was like, oh my God. So just that's what SEC's like Saladin. We know that they're going to get, you know, the matchups, Florida. I mean, all these games that can go on, it's going to be nuts. Texas, Georgia, Texas. I mean, you can just see like what's going to happen on the SEC. It's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's talk about some predictions really quickly. Let's wrap up the show. Oklahoma at Nebraska. Nebraska just fired, you know, obviously Scott Frost. Really quick, let's go around the room and kind of knock that one out. Rob?
Oklahoma, big. Dylan Gabriel.
Oklahoma.
Been outstanding at quarterback from Oklahoma. And, yes. Big.
I told y'all. Them brothers don't want to go play in the middle of the country in Nebraska. Y'all, every time I say that, y'all say I'm wrong. But that helped get Scott Frost fired. Does nobody want to go play in Nebraska no more? It's not 1992. It's over. Over.
That whispered off.
Mickey Joseph, New Orleans interim coach there.
Yeah.
Oklahoma big.
With you guys. BYU at Oregon.
What's that?
Let's say you, Gary. Coming out the gate. BYU at Oregon. What's happening? Go ahead, man.
Yeah. Well, come on, man. Oregon. Or, you know, BYU's not Georgia, and we're playing at home. We're going to win this. Oregon's going to win this game at home.
Okay.
And Curtis and I both pick Oregon to win this game. I don't know what the score is going to be, but they're going to win.
Doesn't matter. JQ.
Not so fast, my friend. I'm picking BYU on the road in Eugene. BYU, it could be this year's Cincinnati. They got a tougher schedule than what Cincinnati had last year, but they have an opportunity. I think they're going the road, and they beat Oregon. I think they beat them by 10 points, too. I'm looking at a game somewhere around. Go ahead, JQ. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
I was going 30-20. I'm picking BYU on the road to win this game.
Two words. Bo Nix. Whenever Bo Nix is going to play in the big game, I am going to pick the team he's playing against. Sorry, but I've seen that show enough times down here in Arbor and the SEC. I'm going to go with BYU.
Bo Nix is Dick Hughes' college version of Kirk Cousins, just in case y'all don't know.
No, Bo Nix is way worse than Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was least serviceable. Bo Nix sucks.
I know.
And it's not a shot at Oregon. He sucks at Arbor.
Yep.
Wow. Florida State at Louisville. Go ahead. Is it Coach Rob?
Hey, I like Florida State on the road here. I know Louisville kind of had a bounce-back game, and Malik Cunningham is a very athletic quarterback at Louisville, but I like Florida State to go on the road. They seem to be a lot more physical and have a lot more depth this year. I think their team, that could be a contender in the ACC as well this year. But I like Florida State to go on the road and win this one.
Yeah, me too. And I watched some of that game against UCF, the Louisville play. And for the first part of that, they didn't look good at all. And then he got loose, you know, at the quarterback scrambles. They came and they would win that game. But I was pleasantly surprised, and not really a Florida State fan, at the fact that they could go into, you know, Louisiana and give LSU fits. I really thought LSU was going to dog walk Florida State. So I'm going to go with Florida State as well. I mean, Lamar Jackson is not walking through that door. So I think Florida State wins.
Yep.
Fuck the Seminoles.
Yeah, Brown and Nagel is not walking through that door either.
What did you say? Ask the Seminoles, what did you say?
Brown and
Nagel.
That's
exactly what he said.
Yeah, he said Louisville.
Seminoles, I'm taking a little bit. That's exactly what he said, and I love it.
You know that,
Tom
right?
Jackson is not walking through that door of Louisville either.
No, wow, you went back. That's Tom Jackson.
I'm sorry.
Chris Redman's not walking through that door. Damn. Last game before the lady cuts us off for Blog Talk, we've got Miami at Texas A&M. Go ahead, Gary. Start with Gary and Curtis.
Well, I'm only picking Miami because, you know, they're my team, so I'm doing it with my heart, but I don't see them winning this game.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm picking them to win.
Okay.
And I'm praying to God that this isn't fool's gold, that they actually have a decent team. But the jury's still out for me. That's right. And I've got all the stuff at home. My uncle built me this, this U that I put in my window on Sunday. So all my neighbors seen it all. Next time I do the show over there, I'll show you. I'll go out and I'll show you. I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. But, I want them to win. I want them to win really bad. They're my team. That's all I'm going to say.
I think it's a great pick, actually. I'm going with Little Havana and Miami Hurricanes, too, in this game. Tyler Van Dyke, I just talked about it. He's slinging the football. He's got a strong arm. And Texas A&M, I haven't been impressed with them at all in their first couple of games of the season. I mean, they are really struggling. I mean,
yeah.
They lost to Appalachian State. They're a young football team, as you mentioned.
Oh, my God.
I think Miami has – I think they have an outside chance of winning the ACC. I really do. They have the best quarterback in the conference. So that alone is going to give you an opportunity, right? And so they have a legitimate chance of winning the ACC. It's interesting. I picked all the home teams in our NFL predictions, except I picked the Bengals over the Cowboys on the road. But I picked all the road teams in these college football predictions. I'm picking Miami.
That's where I'm headed.
College Station.
That's where I'm headed, too, for what you're saying. Texas, you know, maybe in a year or two, but Texas A&M has talent. They're really young. And you watch that offense, they don't really hit a whole bunch of big explosive plays. They have a very plodding. They've got to take 8, 10, 12, you know, plays to go down the field and score. And if you get behind the sticks because of a holding or a chop block or something like that, it's hard for them to overcome that because they don't have that ability to go down the field and hit big plays. So I'm with you guys on that. I'm with you on that, Rob, too. I'm going to go with the best quarterback. Maybe next year, you know, we'll see about it with Texas A&M. But I think that Jimbo's got some growing pains to go through with that team. They're probably going to get better as the year goes along. But I think Miami can go on the road and win a college station.
There it is.
I hope you're right.
Yep.
Miami's my second favorite team.
I don't
Gary.
Yeah.
Gentlemen,
yeah.
We went long.
Put that in perspective. North Carolina scored 63 points on Appalachian State. Texas A&M scored 14.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's not good. All right. Again, appreciate you guys taking the time to get through all the topics. It's been a great, great talk and sports with the 12th Man Show. Gentlemen, have a great rest of your week. Obviously, I'm going to end it, Rob, and then we'll sign off with you. Go ahead and close.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in. Another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We should be back at you on next Tuesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern for our friends down in South Beach and Little Havana. We want to hear from you all with the Miami Hurricanes. It's going to be 10 p.m. In the Central Time Zone. We want to hear from you all. Texas A&M, we want to hear y'all crying about y'all loss. So definitely call in and keep the time zone, 10 p.m. Next week. And then the Mountain Time Zone, BYU. We want to hear about y'all exciting victory over Oregon, 9 p.m. So we want to hear from y'all. And then on the West Coast in Oregon, you want to hear from the Ducks fans and Oregon State Beavers on next week at 8 o'clock on the Pacific Time Zone. That's it. Good night, people. Until Tuesday. Peace.
I used to live in Bryan and College Station, too, so I keep telling you about that. So I know about the Texas connection, too. That's what the Texas A&M, that's where Johnny Manziel, what is it, ATM? That's what you could talk about. Money Man ATM.
that's that old money down there.
That's who we should call too, Johnny so. Football. Let's bring Johnny Football back into the NFL. We'll give him a try, too.
All right, I'm done with you, Gary.
Now we're starting off. Gary, I appreciate you, sir. Good luck. Much prayers to you and Curtis, man. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Rob. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
See you guys next week.
All right.
Good night,
John.
Okay. All right. Hey, good night.